paraclete. That's the one who comes alongside, and he speaks to us. And so we need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And so Holy Spirit spoke to me in my right ear, and he said, you could say this, Dennis, a brother who learned to be a son on his way to becoming a father. A brother who learned to be a son on his way to becoming a father. Well, I could not in 50 years have come up with a phrase that would have summarized my life better than that. I grew up in a family of 6 children. I had 5 sisters and me. So I knew what it meant to be a brother. I was very comfortable being a brother. I came from a farming community. My dad was one of 6 kids. My mom was the eldest of 11 children. We were farm family people. It was all about, you know, the family business, and everybody pitches in, and we all are out in the fields working together. And I understood what it meant to be a brother. And I carried that over into the church. I was very comfortable relating to brothers and sisters in Christ. And I had a wonderful set of parents. My dad and mom were very dedicated Christian people, very loving. Our home was very healthy overall and safe. You know, we had a few issues, some religious things going on, but overall, our family was very healthy. There was never a day in my life that I didn't know that I was loved. There was never a day in my life that I felt the need to rebel against my parents or anything like that. So I was secure in my identity as a son with my family and as a brother with my sisters. But when we got over into the church, nobody back then, when I was growing up, was talking about spiritual fathers and sonship and the father heart of God. Like, that wasn't a topic that we heard about. And so everyone in the church were just brothers and sisters in Christ. That was my heritage. So I had gone along, and, you know, I actually went to Bible school and was ordained, and then, you know, planted a local church in Hamilton in 1978. And I was doing it as a brother. That was my paradigm. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. I didn't know about spiritual sonship. I didn't know that you could have spiritual fathers and mothers who would really impart to you and nurture you and encourage you and back you up and actually even lovingly correct you and instruct you in ways of righteousness. I would read books and go to seminars, and, you know, again, all the brothers and sisters are meeting together, but there was no generational dynamic happening back then. And so we really missed something in North America. Middle Eastern people understand this principle better. God himself is called the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God himself is a tri-generational God. Paul said to Timothy, honor the faith that was in your grandmother Lois, in your mother Eunice, and is now in you. Generational. This is foreign to us in North America. We have a me generation mindset. We go into debt. It's all about get what we can for our generation. We are not concerned too much with the inheritance we'll pass on to our children or our children's children. But in the Hebrew culture, that's a big deal. That's a really big deal. Whose son are you? Whose daughter are you? Who's your daddy? You know, these are big questions in Eastern culture, but in Western culture, we have an orphan mindset. And we're often like, there used to be a show on TV, you probably are all too young to remember it, but it was called Party of Five. Does anybody remember that show? Party of Five, and they were 5 siblings. I think their parents had been killed in a car accident or something. And so they're all in this house together, and the oldest brother, who might be 18, is trying to, you know, steward the family, and they're all kind of bumbling along, trying to get along as brothers and sisters and, you know, grow up. Well, that's a picture of the church often. We have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but we don't have many fathers. We don't have these spiritual fathers who show us the way, who've been battle-scarred and who come with wisdom and impart to us so that we don't have to repeat the mistakes of the last generation. And so God is transitioning us from an orphan mindset to that of being sons and daughters. And I needed to learn that. I was busy being a brother. I was out there trying to, you know, work and strive and labor and build and sacrifice to try to get some kind of inheritance on my own. When you're a brother but not a son, you have no inheritance. But in Christ, we are supposed to be aligned generationally. And Galatians 4 talks all about how God the Father releases an inheritance to us as sons and daughters when we grow up and mature. When we steward what he has given to us well, you know, the small things, then he increases what he trusts us with. Katie and I are delighted today to have a very dear friend of ours here. Her name is Dee Moggish. She and her family were our next door neighbors in Hamilton, Ontario for years and years. And there was an ongoing feud between the Weedrich family and the Moggish family, which was settled in our backyard with, you know, power soakers and hoses. And, you know, we had these water fights that would go on all summer. And, of course, our family were the undisputed... It's because I kept buying more length of hose and I could actually chase them back to their yard and I never ran out of hose. And then she's saying I got a power washer, which I did, which, you know, it gave even more pressure. And they're there with their little squirt guns and I've got a power washer. We're the spirit-filled ones. Anyway, we love each other, and we're so delighted to have Dee here. But she grew up friends with our children, and so we watched our children learn to become more responsible. If they would leave their tricycle on the driveway, you know, my exhortation to my children would be, if you want Daddy to buy you a bicycle, you're going to have to take better care of your tricycle. And the same thing with, you know, their first bicycle. If you want a 10-speed when you're 15, you better take care of this bicycle. It's an issue of stewardship. And so because our kids learn to be responsible overall, unlike the Moggish kids, we were able to, when they were 16, you know, they got their licenses and we were able to trust them with the family vehicle. And then they started traveling on mission trips with us, and we involved them in family businesses that we were doing and investments. And so more and more of the family inheritance was imparted to our children as they grew up into their true identities. And that's how it is with God. God has a phenomenal inheritance for you. Something that only you can do the way he wants it done. And he created you deliberately, spirit, soul, and body, to fulfill that destiny. And he is very, very excited about imparting that inheritance to you. But if you don't pass the tests, if you don't learn the lessons of sonship, if you are unteachable, if you have an orphan spirit and it's all about me getting whatever I can get for myself, you will not come into your inheritance, and that would be a tragedy. That would be a tragedy. And so the epitaph the Holy Spirit gave me was Dennis, a brother who learned to be a son. We have to learn sonship. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Jesus loved the title of son. There are hundreds of names given to Christ in the Bible. You know, many, many names. Prince of Peace, Morning Star, you know, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the great shepherd of the sheep. You know, on and on go his titles. But the one that he loved the most was the Son of God, the Son of Man. If you've seen me, you've seen my Father. I only say those things I hear my Father saying. I only do those things I see my Father doing. If you met Jesus, you met a son walking in the fullness of his inheritance. Now, traditionally in the Jewish culture, when a man would reach the age of 30, the father would host a big celebration. And they would lift the man up on the shoulders of a few of the family strongmen, and they would parade him around. And the father would point at him. He's 30 years old. And he'd say, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And then the father would impart to the son the keys to the family business. This is what happened at the River Jordan when Jesus was 30, except that he didn't have a biological father. He had God as his father. And so he submitted to the baptism of John, and then a voice from heaven spoke audibly. Everybody heard it. Some said it thundered, but it was really the voice of God. We still have those people today that discredit the voice of God and blame it on thunder. God doesn't speak that way. Well, yes, he does. And so God spoke from heaven audibly, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove, highlighting him to all of Israel as their Messiah. Jesus stepped into his inheritance that day. He had never done one miracle before that. He had never had one supernatural demonstration before he was recognized at the Jordan River that day. And Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. That's how he did his miracles. He did no miracle because he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God, but that's not why he did the miracles. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. The miracles happen because the Holy Spirit comes as part of our inheritance. And Jesus stood in the synagogue in Nazareth and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news, to heal the brokenhearted, the recovery of sight to the blind," and so on. It's the Spirit of God anointing Jesus of Nazareth. It's the Spirit of God anointing Brant of Calgary. It's the Spirit of God anointing Katie of Oshawa. It's the Spirit of God. That's the secret to Jesus' ministry. Well, how much of the Holy Spirit do you have? It's part of your inheritance. But if you don't pass the tests that God brings your way, how will you move to a new level, you know, of stewardship? As my kids showed their responsibility, you know, and stewarded what we gave them well, then, you know, I was willing at the age of 18 to go out and help them buy a car. And then we would help them, you know, buy a house. You see what I'm saying? It's an ever-growing, from glory to glory kind of thing. But you have to pass the test. And that's what Galatians 4 is all about. The inheritance is released by the Father at the appointed time. So I needed to learn about the spirit of sonship. And how I did is I started honoring fathers and mothers. I honored my own parents, and I was so grateful for the inheritance I received from them. But I needed more to fulfill my ministry, so I started relating to spiritual fathers and mothers who had different gifts or ministries or abilities that my own parents didn't have, and they started to impart those things to me. And I learned what it meant to be a son. I had a spiritual father, Jack Winter. He pioneered the whole Father, Heart of God message, and he was a personal spiritual father to James and Denise Jordan as well. And so we are really brothers and sisters in the same apostolic family with Jack as our father, and that's why we've been heirs together, as it were, and have partnered all over the world for the Father Heart of God with James and Denise. So we're looking forward to being with them in Calgary here in September. Anyway, Jack had an international ministry. He had been to over 50 nations, and when he adopted us as a son and daughter, we began to participate in the family business. So I started traveling, Katie and I started traveling with Jack regularly. And so then we would sit under his ministry, we would receive from his anointing. So much of what we walk in today, we inherited from our spiritual father, Jack Winter. And so he called me one day and he said, "Dennis, I was praying for you." He was in California, I was in Ontario. And he said, the Father spoke to me and said, "Dennis has been faithful in a city. There's the stewardship issue again. I'm now going to cause him to be faithful over nations." And he said, "Dennis, all true spiritual authority is born out of sonship." And he quoted Psalm 2. God the Father saying about Jesus, "This day have I begotten thee, thou art my son. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance and the ends of the earth as your possession." In that phone call that day, my spiritual father, who had keys to nations, handed me the keys to the family vehicle, just like I would hand them to my son, Ben. "Here's the family vehicle. Away you go. Steward it well. Honor God. Obey the boundaries. And be safe," you know. My spiritual father handed me these keys, and within 2 weeks, the invitation came for me to lead my first mission team to Bulgaria, which was a formerly communist nation in Eastern Europe. And then in 6 weeks, an invitation to South Korea. And in 8 weeks from that phone call, an invitation to Nicaragua. And we have since gone to over 50 nations around the world, some of them many times. I didn't know these nations. I had no contacts there. But my father handed me the keys, and my inheritance was downloaded to another level. Do you get it? I had been faithful in a city. We had been part of a citywide leaders prayer group for 13 years. We had walked through unity and reconciliation, and, you know, God was commanding the blessing on our city. And then overnight, it was an inheritance, nothing that I could have made happen myself. My father handed it to me in due season. Does this make sense? And God is no respecter of persons. He will do the same for you. I am exceedingly jealous about the inheritance that's hanging above each of you, that is your destiny, that has the blessing of heaven in it, that is more than you could ask or think. And I'm so zealous that you would pass whatever test the Father has brought to you so that you could move from glory to glory. Right? That you would learn what it means to be a son. That you would no longer live as an orphan. And when I say son, of course I mean daughter as well. We're talking about the spirit of sonship that comes upon us, whereby we cry, "Abba, Papa, Daddy." God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of sonship, so that we relate to him as Daddy. So when I go to the nations now, it's not in my own name, it's not in my own ministry, has really little to do with me. I am simply an ambassador of my Heavenly Father. So I walked with spiritual fathers, have now for years. Jack was our first, and he was apostolic. Then along came Bob Jones. Some of you know Bob Jones from originally Kansas City and later with Morningstar and Rick Joyner. He adopted us as a spiritual son and daughter, and we traveled with him for many years. And his impartation to us was not so much apostolic. He was a prophet. And so the inheritance we got from him, and he actually passed his mantle specifically to Katie, is this whole prophetic package, this whole prophetic inheritance, which has been phenomenal. And then, you know, we met a spiritual mom from Edmonton. She's a First Nations matriarch, and she is one of the most profound intercessors I've met on the face of the earth. We received an inheritance from her in the whole area of intercession, which is one of the life messages that we carry to the nations. So she has mothered us all these years, and we pray through weighty issues related to Canada and so on, because we can partner with our spiritual mom. And then I was in Dallas, Texas at a Peter Wagner conference a number of years ago, and there's a break time between the sessions, and I'm just standing in the aisle kind of minding my own business, and this elderly gentleman came up from behind me, and he put his arms around me, and he hugged me, and he said, "I want to take you out for supper, young man." Well, I immediately liked him because he called me a young man. Very discerning. I had no idea who he was, but, you know, this was an international gathering of apostolic leaders from all over the world. And Holy Spirit said, "Say yes." So I said, "I'd be honored to go out for supper with you." His name was James, and he was in his 70s. He had, he took me out to this beautiful restaurant. We had the whole evening together, and he said, he gave me his life story. He had 3 earned doctorates, you know, that he had obtained in several areas of academics, and he had founded and was the CEO of 3 very successful corporations. He had been a rocket scientist with NASA and actually designed the rockets that took Apollo 13 into space. Do you remember the Tom Hanks movie, Apollo 13? James was the rocket scientist that designed those rockets that safely brought them back. And that was in his younger years, of course. And furthermore, he was an apostle. He is an apostle to the nations, and he oversees 1,400 churches worldwide. Now, would you like to go out for supper with a man like that? I didn't seek him out. I just stood there as a son. I learned to be a son. And you know, when I see a true spiritual father, my immediate response is to honor them, is to learn from them. When I'm out with my spiritual fathers, unlike some people I know, I don't do all the talking. I'm the son. I want to hear what the father has to say. I want to learn from the wisdom they have gleaned in 50 plus years of ministry. And so this man took me out for supper. He adopted me as a son. He initiated the whole thing. Why? Who am I out of 600 people that he would pick to go out for supper? It wasn't me, it was the spirit of sonship that causes a father to turn his face towards you and lift up his countenance upon you and bless you. That's what it was. I learned to be a son, and I feel like God has given Katie and I like the best spiritual moms and dads we could get. I called Katie on the phone from Dallas, and I said, "I met this amazing man, and he adopted me as a son, and, you know, rocket scientist and whatever." And I said, "Finally, somebody I can talk to." She said, "Dennis, your humility is underwhelming." And he has fathered me, and we continued to go to that event in Dallas every year, and we met with James every year, and he always came with a dream or an encouragement or an exhortation or something, and correction. You see, when my dad disciplined me, it was not in anger, and I felt no rejection. He disciplined me in love, and I never felt more secure or more loved. You knew my dad, didn't you? Wasn't he a kind and generous man? Not so much to the Magishes, because he was part of the Weidrick, you know, Magish feud, but generally. Yeah, the pastoral team might want to meet with her afterwards. So anyway, my dad always disciplined me in love. I never felt more loved or secure than when I sat on my dad's lap and he held my head close to his heart after he would have disciplined me. And I could feel the rise and fall of his chest and his breath on me. And I could sense his unconditional love for me. And him, his discipline, because I was a son, drew me to him. The orphan spirit will cause you, when a father disciplines, to run away. Whom the father loves, he will discipline. And the measure of sonship versus orphan spirit in your life is really best identified by how you respond to discipline. My Heavenly Father disciplines me on a regular basis. Why? Because I'm a son. And I want that discipline because I want to learn like Jesus did through the things that I suffer. Does that make sense? And then guess what? I get trusted with more of my inheritance. So I was a brother doing the orphan thing, party of five. I learned to be a son by walking with Jack and Bob and Carol and James and various other spiritual fathers and mothers. God has lovingly given us apostolic fathers, prophetic fathers and mothers. We don't have any evangelists that I know of. Obviously, we all do the work of evangelists, but we didn't have anyone specifically who imparted, you know, evangelistic gifts into our lives. But we had pastoral fathers and mothers and teacher father and mother. And so we really have had quite a healthy cross-section. Some people will only think they only can have one spiritual father. Well, I would encourage you to read 1 Corinthians where Paul says, you know, some of you say, I'm of Paul or I'm of Peter or I'm of Apollos. And Paul said, don't do that. You know, we are called to walk in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, not just one. So we want to be affected by, you know, numbers of leaders in the body of Christ because no one has it all. Is that correct? And so the Bible says there are 10,000 instructors in Christ. And I sense that many of you have had a lot of teaching, but you don't have many fathers. We don't have many fathers, but we have a few that are handpicked by God, and our DNA perfectly aligned with theirs so that we could walk in all these years and have a fruitful relationship and able to honor them. Well, in my last few minutes, I just want to say it didn't stop with sonship. We continue to walk as a son and daughter and always will. But we started to look behind us and surprise, surprise, we noticed that people started to follow us as we followed Christ. And they began to posture themselves towards us as spiritual sons and daughters. We weren't looking for that. I wasn't expecting it. I was just enjoying being a son. But this whole sonship thing that happened and the inheritance that came postured us eventually to become a father and mother in the body of Christ. It started in our own church, then it spilled over into our city, and then suddenly we're, you know, sharing in conferences in various places across Canada. And then, as I shared, Jack called, and the nations of the world opened up. And so God said to Abraham, I have made you a father to many nations. I'm jealous that you walk in sonship. Why? Because if you are faithful as a son in your father's house, then eventually, and I should say daughter as well, eventually God's plan would be that you would mature to the place where you become fathers and mothers. We live in an orphan generation. We live in a culture where, what's the statistic? Is it 7 out of 10 students graduate high school, is it, with a single mom, is that? In the United States. This is staggering. The lack of fathering, the extra weight and burden that's put on mothers to raise children in single family homes. This is the church's finest hour. We should be filling that void with amazing, anointed spiritual fathers and mothers like Steve. You know, Pastor Brandt mentioned Steve yesterday. He was a literal orphan when we found him. Both of his natural parents had passed away years before, and he was at this pastor's camp, and he had this little pup tent set up in this grassy field all by himself, and he nicknamed himself the soloist. If I ever saw an orphan, that was him. And we were given a house as a family to have for that particular pastor's camp. So we invited him to come and live with us in that house for the week. And then we ended up adopting him. And he is now, we consider him, you know, one of our children. And he's actually in our will because we're his family, you know. And so we've traveled the nations, and he learned about intercession as he was sharing. And he now teaches on it wherever he goes. You can see the family inheritance. Can you tell I'm excited about this? I covet this, and I believe God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is a Jacob generation. Psalm 24. And God is looking for that Jacob generation. Who is that generation? God named himself the God of Jacob. Jacob was a usurper. He was a trickster. He was a manipulator. But he wrestled with God, the angel of the Lord, all night. God changed his nature, called him Israel, which means prince with God, and made him the father of the 12 patriarchs. Isn't this awesome? And God spoke to me and said, this house is a Jacob house. You are not an Abraham house. You are not an Isaac house. You are a Jacob house. And you will wrestle with the angel of the Lord, and you will, you know, all night wrestle until daybreak, when the Lord will finally put your hip out of joint. You'll put all your weight on the Lord, and then you will say, we will not let you go until you bless us. Some of us don't understand the importance of that declaration. Jacob was invoking the war of giftings. What was the war of giftings? In that time, kings would often go to battle, and they would come with their armies, and, you know, whoever would win, the prevailing king, would show his power and might by showering the lesser king with amazing gifts. A shower of gifts. It was called the War of Giftings. So when the lesser king submitted to the greater king and in a sense became dependent upon him, then the greater king showered the lesser king with all of these gifts in front of everyone. And he calls an entire generation. This is the Jacob generation. This is the generation that seek my face. Few people wrestle through their destiny like Jacob. And God even said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I. Do you think God hates anyone? No, actually, that's a mistranslation. In the original, God doesn't say, I hated Esau. He said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I opposed. Why did God oppose Esau? Because he sold out his birthright. He didn't care about his destiny. He sold it out to Jacob, who was willing even wrongly to manipulate and try to trick and deceive in order to obtain the birthright. But he was so zealous for the birthright, and that's the generation that God says, I love. This is a Jacob house here. And there is an inheritance, and if you wrestle through, If you come to the end of your own strength and put all your weight on him, if you learn to walk with a limp, he will shower this place with giftings and authority, and you will become like Israel, a father to many nations. I see teens going out of this house. I see the scrolls that have the birthrights of cities and churches and nations inscribed that are sealed, and you will carry that identity to key leaders and those that you will disciple individually, as well as daughter churches or church plants or mission outreaches or whatever. You are a Jacob house. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto an idol. Don't you dare bow down to a wrong image of yourself. Don't you dare bow down to a low self-image that thinks you're the worm of the earth and you can't do anything, and God, why don't you choose somebody else? And on the other hand, don't you bow down to a false idol of yourself that says, I'm the great and mighty one, and all should come and receive from me. You know, that would be a mistake as well. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? It's the Jacob generation. They're the ones who obtain favor and blessing from God. Do you have anything you'd like to add? I understand. Okay. How many of you would like your inheritance? Lift your hands before the Lord, please. And would you pray after me? Out loud, please. Heavenly Father, here I am. I admit, Father, that I am part of the Jacob generation. Those that seek your face. Those that are zealous for the birthright. I offer myself to fulfill your destiny in my life, in my generation. And now we're going to pray collectively as you, church. Would you say out loud after me, please? Heavenly Father, we submit the birthright of this church to you. Teach us to walk as sons and daughters. Download our inheritance. Let your favor be seen upon us. Let a godly jealousy come upon the orphans who see the spirit of sonship on us and desire that for themselves. And then, Lord, as we lean upon you, walking now with a limp, we invite you to shower us with gifts and callings that will bring honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Wow. Now, how do you take, how long have you walked in ministry now, collectively?
I've been since I was 15.
So, yeah, I just want to encourage you. It's hard to take 45 years and condense it into 45 minutes. And so it's very important that you learn how to hear with your spirit. But now guard the deposits. What you heard in here, everybody will walk away and they'll have different parts and pieces, but guard these deposits and steward them and steward them and steward them. And I really encourage you to do this. If you do not yet know the word of God, I want you to keep pressing in. Everything, even though the verses haven't got up, these things have all come out of the word of God and his, you know, following him and surrendering your life to Christ. You cannot get into any of your inheritance until you're willing to die to self and receive life from him. It is impossible to maintain a sense, well, I'm going to do this my way, God. That is an orphan mentality. That's I got to figure this all out. I did that for years. You've heard my story, 3.5 years of trying to figure out if God's even real. And I can remember the moment of surrender was a place of just giving up. And it was so scary for me at one sense, because no father, no fathers in my life, spiritually or naturally. And it was this big step, but I'll tell you, everything shifted. Because Jesus is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it says no one can come to the Father but through him. But through him. You can't bypass him. You can't just say, well, it's through him. It is through him. So I just want to encourage you, do not let your life just go on a mediocre pathway. Get hungry. Steward it up. If you have issues or challenges in your heart, you go, well, I'm struggling with these things. That's why he puts the lonely in family, Psalm 68. He says he puts us in family. You've heard me say this before. I have no natural family of my parents or I don't have siblings in that natural blood, but he's put me in a spiritual family. And this is family. We're not perfect at it. We're messy at it. We're really messy. But I'll tell you, it's not about us. It's about him coming to us and through us. Amen? Amen, 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 amen. So, Father, we just ask that you would bless now. Seal these words. And, Father, anyone who's right still, even right now, operating in an orphan mentality that says, I just right now ask you, right now, arrest that. We just arrest that in the name of Jesus. And remind them that you've wonderfully made them. They are a masterpiece. And let them discover why you've made them and how you've made them and who you've made them to be. It's so different from what the world has described on them and put on them. So, Father, we thank you that you're going to keep pouring out your spirit upon every one of us this week. Guard the deposits in Jesus' name. How many this week spent some time fasting and praying, like we took the week fast and praying? I'd love to hear from some of you over the course of the week, email, text, what some of the things that happened. I know some people, it was the first time. And you're like, wow, I got headaches. Yeah, that happens sometimes for some people. And you got to go online and read all that information. But love to hear from you. If you want anyone to pray with you, turn to the person beside you and say, pray with me. We're going to let you go early. Amen? Yay! It's earlier than we usually go. So stand up. Bless a few people.